this morning. So whose is that? That's your baby? I can call her baby because she's my daughter. So, you know, it's all right. Amen? There's only a few people I call baby, right? Just to let you know. That's one of them right there, and that's another one there. So I have another one out in Tulsa and one in Mississippi. So God's good. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't you stand this morning and turn to Ephesians. We're going to start in chapter 4, and I believe we're going to start with verse 18 this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You guys still with me this morning? Amen. Let's back up. Let's back up to 17. Ephesians 4, 7. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Wow, look at this again. This I say, go ahead, back up there, brother. Don't go down through yet, okay? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, right? So let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we made it. Come on, say it with the pastor this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, how are you walking today? Will you do that? Amen. How are you walking today? Praise the Lord. You know, I want to talk to you guys this morning for just a little bit. We're going to start out kind of one way, so just hang in there with me a little bit, and then we're kind of go a different way. Actually, I'm going to talk about husbands and wives today and that relationship. So if you're not married, if you're single today, you know, Paul said that's okay. That's a good thing, right? Says that if you're not married, you know, don't seek to be married. Just seek Jesus. So, but if you're not married, you're still going to glean from this today because there's some practical things in here that we can learn, even though you might be single, right? So if you ever do get married or desire to get married, some people who have the gift of celibacy, right? They don't desire to get married, have no need to get married. They're just enjoying Jesus. That is a good place to be at times, right? But then there's others that say, he that desires a wife or findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So your wife is your favor. Oh, turn to somebody and say amen to that. Come on. Yeah, in fact, guys, you should turn to your wife and say, hey, did you hear what pastor said? Hello? Or maybe the wife should turn to the husband and say, hey, did you hear what pastor said? Right? So that's your favor, man. Praise God. That's your favor in your life. And I am so blessed to have a great girl, man. She is awesome. But I want us to look at this. I've kind of titled this, The Practical Side of Grace. Listen to me. The practical side of grace. When you experience God's grace in your life and you understand God's unconditional love, all of a sudden, there should be changes that take place in your life. In other words, you cannot encounter God's grace and stay the same. You cannot encounter God's unconditional love and be at the same place you were 10 years ago, because God's grace and God's love are change agents. And there's a practical side to walking this out. God wants us to walk out his love. In fact, if you look at Ephesians as a book, it's kind of divided in three sections. It's divided, first of all, we see the wealth that we have in Jesus Christ. Then we see the walk that we have in Jesus Christ, how we are to walk and practice what God has given us. Then we see the war that we have, the warfare going on, Ephesians 6. So, you know, some divide it in that area. They divide it in the wealth, the walk, and the war. But there's another way to divide it too, because there's a position that we're in Christ. Ephesians says that we're seated with Christ. So there's that position of rest, right? Then there's the position of walk, right? Then there's the position of stand. Having done all to stand therefore. But here's the thing. Your walk is determined on how well you rest. Your walk is determined on how well you rest in his finished work. Because if you're not resting in his finished, completed work, then your walk is not going to be very stable. You need to be resting in what Christ has done for you. Out of that understanding of God's love, God's grace, and that he loves you, amen? And someone walked in this morning and said, I am the favorite of the Lord. I about wanted to fight him. Because I said, no, I want to say, no, you got that wrong. I'm the favorite of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you know his love for you, then you'll say, no, I'm the favorite of the Lord, right? So your walk really determines on how secure your rest is in Jesus Christ. And when you're secure in his grace and secure in his love for you, man, your walk is strong in him. Amen? And God wants you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you've got to rest, you've got to depend up on him. Setting comes first. Resting comes first. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Amen? Resting becomes before you're walking. And then Paul goes on to explain about how we should walk. And he goes back to where we were, where we used to be. And Paul says, hey, don't walk like the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And he begins to explain how we are to walk in this life. You know what? We are to walk in this life as more than conquerors. We are not to be, as Holly said this morning, victims, but we are to be victors of what we have in Jesus Christ. We are to walk in the victory. Amen. Our job isn't to get the victory. Our job is just to maintain what has already been gotten for us through Christ. And it's really interesting because if you look at that word futility, one of the translations says, don't walk in the stupidity. Turn to somebody and say, just don't be stupid anymore. In fact, turn to somebody else and say, why would you want to be stupid when God has all the wisdom directed towards you? Turn to somebody else and say, sometimes Christians do stupid things. Come on, somebody. Amen. Have I ever done a stupid thing? Sometimes Christians say stupid things. But he says, don't walk in the stupidity. In other words, don't walk in a carnal mindset. A carnal mindset is simply a mindset that is against God's revelation of his grace and love for you. Don't walk in that type of pattern. Don't walk in your carnal thinking, but walk in the Spirit. Walk in what God has provided for you. Walk in all the good things. Let your mind dwell on the good things that God has provided for you. And let's just go down here for a few, and then we'll go into some of the husband and wife. But I want you to see this because this kind of pertains to some of the stuff that husbands and wives sometimes go through. He said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. When we're walking in a carnal mind and the stupidity of our own mind, we're alienating ourselves from all the good things that God has and all the abundant life that God has for us. Turn to somebody and say, God's got abundance for us. Amen. Do you believe that? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's why the Bible says, don't let your heart become hardened. Your heart, out of your heart flows the issues of life. And if your heart becomes hardened, you have issues. But if your heart is supple towards the Lord and always receiving, something that Carrie Pickett said yesterday, she said, always be teachable. Don't think that you're a know-it-all. Always be teachable. Guys, you can learn something from your wives. Would you say that again, Holly? The other ladies may need to hear that. Amen. You can learn from, God gave you your wife as a help meet to help you because a lot of us guys need help. Come on, somebody. Now punch him real hard right there. Say, yeah, that's the truth. You women should have really said amen to that one. Holly didn't even say anything. I appreciate that. Sometimes it's good to keep your mouth shut, right? So anyway, because of the blindness of their heart, let's go on. Look at the next verse. Go on. Amen. This is good, man. Who being past feelings. You've hardened your heart so much that you're past feeling, past caring. That's what that really is saying there. Having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all in cleanliness with greediness. Wow, notice lewdness and greediness are there together. Right? Going down. But you have not so learned. Turn to somebody and say, you have not so learned this. Right? You have not learned Christ. Going down, next verse. We're going to just walk through this. I'm trying to go quickly, but it's kind of hard to. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus, you haven't learned those things, so you shouldn't practice those things, because he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That old man is dead. He died with Jesus. You are a new creature, a new nature in you. Listen, if you're still practicing those things, you haven't encountered the new you. There's a new you in you in grace. And if you keep reverting back to that stuff, you need to go back and check the new you. Your mind has not been completely renewed, because exactly what it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind has not been renewed to the new you. There is a new nature in you. A God nature. When you're a believer, there's God deposited in you. You've got God in your spirit. Oh my gosh, amen. There's a brand new you. And how do you know? How do you discover the new you? By the renewing of your mind. But if you're still practicing those things, hello? Then you haven't discovered the new you. Oh, but yeah, Pastor, I live by grace. Yes, you do, and so do I. But grace teaches us not to be stupid. Grace is such transformational power, and it teaches you not to do stupid stuff any longer. Because he said, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, righteousness and holiness, man, that is purity. And we don't walk in the futility and the stupidness of our mind. We walk in the pureness of God's grace and God's love. It doesn't mean that we never make mistakes. But we don't let those mistakes have us. We get over, Holly said, we get beyond our mistakes. We don't nurse it, hearse it, and recur, and what? Rehearse it, curse it, and nurse it. In true holiness and right, y'all still with me this morning? What's quiet in this Presbyterian church, man? Amen. Therefore, put it away. Put it away. Stop it. Stupid. I'm calling you stupid. That's what my daughter used to say all the time. Therefore, put away what? Lying. Turn to somebody and say, put it away. Let each one of you speak truth, practical grace. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Guys, we are one. Amen? Husbands and wives are one, but the body of Christ is one as well, right? So we don't lie. We have, lying is hypocrisy. Grace does not lie. Grace speaks the truth in love. Y'all still with me this morning? Next verse, look at this. Next verse. Be angry and do not sin. Do not sin. Be angry. How many's ever been angry? Anybody ever been angry? He says we can be angry. It's an expression. It's an emotion. But he says we have the ability to be angry and not sin. In other words, we don't carry out. We don't act on our anger. Oh, that's good. That's good preaching, Pastor. You don't slap your wife. You don't abuse your wife with words. You know, words how many brushed your teeth this morning? Can you be honest with me? Some of you, come on. Everybody, right? We brush our teeth. We look in the mirror, right? The mirror is like the reflective of the Word of God. We brush our teeth, and you squeeze out that toothpaste, and you squeeze it out. How many squeezed out toothpaste this morning? Me, besides Pastor, I brushed my teeth today. I want to let you know. Amen. And you squeeze out that toothpaste, right? And then you put it on your brush. Have you ever tried to get that toothpaste back in the tube? Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever squeezed it out and said, now I'm going to get this back in that tube? It's impossible to do that. Once that tube becomes flat, there's no air in there, and it won't draw it back in. That's the way harsh words are. Once they come out of our mouth, hello? That's why the Bible says put a guard over your mouth, right? Are you all listening to me this morning? Amen? Guys, sometimes we are so prone to just let things fly out of our mouth. And once they're out there, man, listen, what was that old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? How many of you remember that one? That is a lie from hell. Words are powerful. They can start fire. They can start war. They're powerful. And when you get under anger and all of a sudden you start spewing out of your mouth things that you can't take back, that's why you need to be controlled by the Spirit and not by your emotions. Come on, somebody. You may get angry a second, all of a sudden, hang on, and you get that back down in there and say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. You're good to me, amen. Praise God, thank you, Lord. God, you're not angry at me, thank you, Lord. Because you're not angry at me, I don't have to be angry at somebody else. Listen, don't allow those words to come out of your mouth. They're hard to take back. And if you do, be quick to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, that was so stupid of me. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't hold that anger in there and you go to sleep on it. No, he's saying quickly get rid of it. Get rid of it. Turn to somebody and say, he is really preaching good to you today. Amen. Because if you don't, you give place to the devil. Don't give any. How many want to give place to the devil? Anybody here want to give place to the devil? I don't want to give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? When we open up our mouth and we say things. We give place for the enemy to come in and start his work. And when the work of the enemy comes in, there becomes confusion and destruction and all types of hurt and bitterness and rejection and feelings and on and on and on and on and on. We don't want to give any place to the enemy. That's why we choose the Spirit over our flesh. Thank you for your enthusiasm there, amen? That's why we choose the Word of God over what we're feeling at that time. All of us are subject to feelings and emotions, but we cannot allow those things to control our lives. We have got to allow the Spirit of God to control our life. Turn to somebody and say, that's really good preaching. Don't give any place to the devil. Don't be stupid. Next verse, go on down. Let him who steals steal no more. That's some real good advice. That's some grace advice there. Man, let him who steal. Evidently, there is some stealing going on, right? There's some stuff happening in this church at Ephesus. And Paul said, hey, man, don't be stealing. Stop it, stupid. Stop it. But rather let him what? Turn to somebody and say, work. Work. Working with his hands. What is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Welfare is a selfish mentality. God has designed, may I be bold to say this? I don't believe in help me, Jesus. I believe men are designed to work. Turn to somebody and say, that's real good, Pastor. You ladies should really say amen to that. Not that women cannot have a career. There's some successful career women. Some women are so gifted, they can handle the career. They can bring home the bacon, fry the pan, and never let you forget you're a man because I'm a woman. Come on. Amen. Some women are so gifted and talented, but God has graced them to do that. They are graced to do that. Other women are graced to be mothers and to raise a family. They are graced to do that. But really, the Bible gives us the understanding that men are to be the provider of their household. And he says, why is that? That not only should you make enough for you and your family, but that you have something to give to those who are in need. It's a very selfish thing if you just want it for yourself and you're not thinking about anybody else. Grace thinks about other people. Oh, this is real good this morning, church. Come on, amen. Amen. God wants us to put, listen, he cannot prosper you unless he has something to work with. God needs you to put your hand to something so that he has something to work with. Psalm 1 says he's going to prosper me with whatever I put my hand to will what? Prosper. But you got to put your hand to something in order for you to prosper. And God wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Above all things, God says, I want you to prosper. The way we prosper is when we put our hand to something, and God gets involved with what we put our hand to, and he blesses it. Hallelujah. Amen. God designed men to guide, guard, and provide for their home. Guide, guard, and provide. You guide, you are the leader. God sets you there as a leader. Women are very strong, and if you don't take that place, they will. And a woman really wasn't, excuse me, ladies, a woman wasn't really designed to lead a home. Oh, thank you for that one enthusiasm there. No. A man was designed, now a woman can be a CEO, she can lead a business, she can do a lot of things, but a woman was not designed to lead a home. God put that responsibility on us as men. This sounds like a men's retreat today. Come on, guys. And the reason I'm talking to men is because I be one of them. I am securing my identity. I want you to know this morning, I am a man. There is no confusion there. Hello. Just want you to know. Amen. I pray the same for you. Whew. Have to say that in this society. That's pretty bad, right? But here's the thing. God has placed you in the responsibility. He put man in the garden. He said, men, tend the garden. He gave man a responsibility in the garden. Right? Listen, and so many guys that, you know, there's times and seasons in our life when we go through seasons and you might lose a job or you might be in a season, but you know what? I've been in those seasons. Since I planted this church, I've had several jobs. I've moved from jobs. I worked for 10 years in planting this church and worked in secular work and still do a little part-time stuff, right? Why did I do that? Because I had three daughters. And the way you spell daughters is M-O-N-E-Y. Right, and when you have three daughters, come on, if anybody's got a daughter, you guys really should say amen to that, because you know daughters are so different than guys. You know, I've got grandsons now. I'm so thankful for my grandsons. Amen. Grandsons, you put tennis shoes on them, you put jeans on them, you put a t-shirt on them, you give them a ball cap, and you send them outside, and they're just woohoo. Girls say, hey, daddy, I need something to go with my tennis shoes that matches this, Dad. And, oh, Daddy, I need my makeup done. And, oh, Daddy, I need my hair done. And, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh. Daddy, this guy wants to marry me. And guess what, Daddy? You get to pay for all that. And, oh, by the way, Daddy. So I went without a salary at all, 10 years of this church, probably a little longer than that. And I worked jobs, and I was out working. Why was I working? What was I doing? What was I doing that for? You know, I could have just went on, you know, got some unemployment and sat around the house and carried on. No, 1,000 times no. I love my family. I love my girls. I love this church. Didn't want to draw from it when I knew there's things that we need to do and accomplish in the kingdom of God. For the 4 years I worked for AR, I counted up, I was gone 2 years of those 4 years on the road. I'd come in at 5, 6, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, there's a work ethic that needs to be instilled in today's men. God didn't raise you to be a whamby-pamby, sit around. Come on, somebody. Come on, men. You gotta help me out right here. Thank you. Comes from a lady, wouldn't you know it? I get in at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, come in, teach the Word of God, go out in the afternoon, get on a plane, fly to somewhere, get up in the morning, be at a dealership at 8 in the morning, and work to 8 or 9 at night. I did that. Why did I do that? Because I love my family, and I knew that my daughters had needs, my wife had needs. I wanted to make sure I was a good supplier of those needs, right? Hello? I wanted to make sure not only was I a good supplier, but the church had needs, so I wanted to make sure I was a good giver. I want to be a good giver. I don't want to think of myself. I want to think of what I'm doing in the kingdom of God that's impacting the kingdom. So I gave, and we still give. Amen? There's a kiosk back there. You can give on that. I gave on that this morning some, right? There's online. I give on that, right? I have a heart for Guatemala. I give towards missions. We want to see babies rescued. So men, God designed you to be a guide, a guard, and a provider for your home. And not only a provider, God wants you to be a good provider that you have more than enough. Come on, that's really good preaching. Punch somebody real hard and say, that's real good. Amen. Hallelujah. So let him that steal no more, working with the hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Next verse, let's go on down a little bit further. Let no corrupt proceed out of your mouth, but what is good to the necessary edification, that it may impart. It may impart what? It may impart what? Grace. When you're saying something, impart grace. Don't let it be a corrupt word. Let grace. What's grace? God's unmerited favor. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Speak to them kindly. Bless them. People need to be blessed. Do not expect. Guys, you need to bless your wife. Let me say that again. This is a hard audience this morning, man. So all you ladies, if your husband is here this day, make sure you get this tape and give it to him for a Christmas present, all right? Amen. You need to bless your wife. Bless your wife. Oh, my gosh. Let me say it again. You need to bless your wife. Wow. You need to bless your wife. You need to tell her, listen to me. Women and guys communicate so differently. I mean, us guys, most of the time, we do not talk a lot. We can hang out all day long and not talk. We watch a ball game and sit there mesmerized, just not talk. It is not the same way usually for women. Women like to talk and talk and talk some more. And talk a little more. And talk some more. Most guys, you go to a ball game or, you know, it's like, you know, most, you get together and you talk about a ball game. And this is how you talk about a ball game. Most guys talk about a ball game. Hey, man, what was the score? Hey, by the way, does anybody know the score of Notre Dame last night? Did we win? Oh, good. Hallelujah. So, and that's it. Hey, man, what was the score? Women communicate so differently. Hi, Rose. Hi, Paula. How are you today? I'm real good, Rose. Did you see the ball game last night? Yes, I did. Well, what were they wearing? Yes, I think that's in season. That color is so good. Doesn't that look good on, oh, number 23 out there? Oh, were there any other cute guys there? Oh, my God. Oh, did you see that girl? Did you see what she had on? Oh, she does not wear that well. And, honey, her hair. Her hair. Did you see that hair? Oh, my gosh. Where did she get that done at? And us guys are kind of sitting there, huh? Guys, listen to me. Sometimes it's very hard for us to communicate effectively, right? You have to practice communication. Communication takes time, right? So you got to sit down, a cup of coffee, and start asking your wife, how is your day? What's going on with you? How's everything in your life? Baby, am I treating you good? Listen to me. Baby, are we getting along well? Hey, what can I do different, honey? How can I bless you? What can I do to bless you? You know what? I think a lot about blessing my children and my wife and about blessing you. I think a lot about blessing other people. Grace blesses. Listen to me. Grace doesn't curse. Grace blesses. Amen? And here's what he's saying. He's saying, impart grace, impart blessings to your spouse. Impart blessings to one another. Amen? Find out about one another. See how one another is doing. Baby, are you happy with where I am right now? Are you happy with what I'm doing? You know what? Why is that? Because I want to please the Lord. And as I please the Lord, amen, he pleases me, he blesses me. And as my focus is on him and his love for me, I want that focus to be on you as well. Turn to somebody and say, that's really good teaching right there. Amen. Next verse. Let's go down here real quickly. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve the Holy Spirit by not receiving everything God has given us in grace and not acting upon what we receive, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Next verse. Don't grieve him. This is the way you don't grieve him. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And look what you do. Next verse. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, how can I do that, Pastor? Even as God in Christ has forgiven you. When you realize how much God has forgiven you, it's so much easier to forgive somebody else. Most people, they can't forgive because they haven't realized how much they've been forgiven. But when I focus on how much God's forgiven me, not only do I forgive, but I forget. Don't bring up your past. Don't bring up past arguments. Don't bring up past disagreements. It's not, don't bring up past girlfriends or boyfriends. Come on, somebody. Don't do those things. No. Don't bring those up. Forget it. Forget those things. Forgiving one another even as Christ for God and God has forgiven you. Let's go to the next verse. Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Next verse. I love this. And walk in what? Walk in love. Walk in his love. As Christ also has loved us. When we look at the love that he has for us, man, we walk in that love and given himself for us. Given himself for us. I have not got down to my text this morning in Ephesians 5. Because in Ephesians 5, and we'll get to this, but it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. Would you notice something here? When you focus on how much Christ loved the church, then it's easy for you to love your wife. When you know how much Christ has given for the church, this is agape, a sacrificial love, then you sacrificially do things for your wife. I do not like shopping. Can any other men say amen besides me? Maybe you guys like shopping. I do not. My idea of shopping is go in and get it and put it in a car and go on. My wife's idea of shopping and my girl's idea of shopping is spending the day at the mall. Well, not maybe the day, maybe half the day. Hello? I do not like the mall. But there are seats in the mall. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Man, they were designed for it. Somebody was really smart because they put them there for us guys. And you know what? I don't like going to the mall, but every once in a while, I will go to the mall with my, especially when our girls were home. I'd go to the mall with the girls, let them shop. I'd find a place to sit down. I'd enjoy it. I'd just people watch. Amen. Sacrificial love does what you don't want to do at times. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Husbands, love your wife just as Christ has loved the church. Well, Pastor, she won't submit to me if you love her. Because, you know, wasn't the verse say, wives, submit to your husbands? The reasons that women won't submit, because you don't love her as Christ loved the church. And the word submit, you know what that word means? It doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It means that you get up under that husband of yours and you make him better through the love that you display to him. Submitting simply means to get up under and support. You support him. Amen? And in that support, he loves you. Even as Christ loved the church. And if you read further back, it says, submit one another to one another. So we are to support one another in the fear and the reverence of God. Hallelujah. Would you stand this morning? Amen. Would you give God some praise today? Hallelujah. Oh, come on. We can do better now. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. That was my opening verse of this text, by the way. So I just swear, I haven't even got to my sermon, but that was a good introduction this morning. Amen. Because, you know, why do you say this? Because I have a heart for our men here. I want our men, you know, would you back up to Ephesians, husbands, love your wives? Would you back up to that? Is it verse 25? Husbands, do you know what the Greek word for husbands is there? How it's interpreted? The Greek word for husband is man. It's simply man. Now, sometimes it's interpreted dummy. I'm just kidding. Greek word is simply man, that God wants us men to be men. That God has called us men to be men. Amen? God wants us to act, walk, talk, and be a man of God under God's grace and love. God wants you to be man. God has designed you as a man to be a man. Amen? And a man loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Amen? We might get it wrong sometimes, guys. No condemnation there. We might get it wrong. We might make mistakes. We all do. We might get in an argument at times. We may not disagree. But you know what? We always come back in love. We always come back in love. Amen? Because grace covers a multitude. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't expose failure. Love covers failure. Some of you have never known God's love, and you've been in a religious thing, and you've been caught up in religion, and you've been caught up in an angry God at you, but God's not angry at you. God loves you today. He loves you so much, he gave Jesus, amen? And he wants you to know him and have an abundant life. Not a life of just your own in stupidity, walking in stupidity, but walking in the path that God's chosen you, and God's chosen you and ordained you for a good path. God's chosen you and ordained you to have success, amen? Could you raise your hands this morning with me and let's make a confession this morning. Come on, everybody can make this confession. Lord, thank you for your goodness to me. I walk in your love towards others. I walk in your love today in everything that you've given me. In this life, Lord, you've designed me for success. I am successful. Whatever I put my hand to prospers. Favors on my life. Goodness is on my life today. I receive that today. I forget my past. I forget those failures. And I take up that cross and I follow you. Thank you, Lord, for that today. I received all of your goodness today. Thank you, Jesus, for your wisdom. This is for the men. Men, I want you to say this with me. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom in my life, for your grace, for your provision, for your guidance. Lord, thank you today. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Lord, you've forgiven me, and I receive that forgiveness today. And Lord, I thank you that you've got goodness for me and greatness for me today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God some hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to find at least 8 people this morning and say, the word of God changed me today. How about you? Amen. Would you do that? Praise the Lord.